Today on Real Radio.
When you look at the book of Judges, for example, when you look at Chronicles, when you look at, that's exactly what you see God doing to the nation of Israel. He chastises them when they forsake him. It's sad to say, but America at large has forsaken God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. This is a special edition of Real Radio. I'm David Jay, sitting down in Pastor Jack's office as we wrap up the series on the Ten Commandments and we get into the series on the book of Joshua. Jack, can I point something out to you?
Absolutely.
I love these times you and I get to sit down for two reasons. Number one, as friends, I find the time precious. You know, as you as you grow up, friends and family become more precious. So I really appreciate you and I getting to sit down together.
I love it, Davey.
And number two, I learn stuff.
Me too.
I walk away from this office every single time going, man, that was good. I wish we could do this every single day.
Oh, that's great.
The Ten Commandments. We just wrapped up a few weeks on the Ten Commandments. And I have one, I really pay close attention to when I'm listening to the radio, I'm paying close attention, obviously because you and I do this program together. And I want to point out just one quick part that really, really stuck out to me. And that was on April 26th, part two of commandment number five. And you said these words: as a father, we need to be honorable before our kids. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think to myself, am I doing this? Am I being practical? Am I being the father that I need to be? And out of all the Ten Commandments, that was the one thing that really, I mean, really stuck out and sort of come out of the radio and hit me in the face, if you will.
Well, Davey, I got to tell you, I distinctly remember the vibe, the feel in the sanctuary when that came out, because we could preach 1,000 messages, but if what is being proclaimed by the mouth, but yet contradicted by actions at home, if the dad of the house is not living out his Christianity, there's no sermon that can undo that. There's no sermon, there's no preaching, there's no evangelistic crusade that's going to be greater than the ministry life lived by the dad. God has ordained dads, fathers, leaders of the home, to be that image of Christ. And we either put on that mantle or we don't. And I got to tell you, you could feel the conviction in the room that evening. And I remember that coming out of my mouth and being convicted myself, because my kids are grown and older, but they still shape. They still shape. They reach back to the past to equate and relate to their heavenly father by an example of their earthly dad. And I want to believe I did a really good job, but you know what, David, there's only one righteous, one perfect. And so I ask for God's grace to fill in those voids where I failed.
Some folks call the Ten Commandments a list of do's and don'ts. Can you tell us why the Ten Commandments are essential for us today and don't just simply boil down to a list of do's and don'ts?
Yeah, you know what? That's an awesome question. Mainly because of this, and we said it numerous times in the study, God gave us the Ten Commandments for many reasons. One of them, of course, is to show us the righteousness of God. The second thing is to show us our unrighteousness, meaning that we cannot keep the law and be saved. In fact, Jesus said, as was part of our theme verse and teaching in Matthew 5:17, he said, "Don't think I've come to destroy the law."
Yeah.
No, he said, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." And so the Ten Commandments are not a bunch of don'ts because God is somehow disgruntled with humanity. It is really the declaration of, this is how you're to live. And in those areas where you fail, and you will fail, my righteousness will cover. And so I like to look at it in the full spirit of the Scriptures, meaning this, Davey, that the Ten Commandments are not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a matter of, I want you to live, and these are the rules. Yeah. I mean, you cannot live without rules in any theater.
When I'm following the rules, per se, I feel better.
There's freedom.
I don't want to, I'm not saying I feel righteous. I feel better. I feel good.
That's right on.
That I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do.
Well, you know what? We all know this, that when children have fences, they play in the playground with confidence.
Yes.
You remove the fences, and this is a just a psychological fact, that when you take down fences, children will gravitate toward one another and hold on to one another, and they will not venture out from that spot.
Yeah.
Why? Because fences give us freedom.
Now, as we, as Americans, our culture, our political system, and judicial system have worked really hard to remove God from our public discourse and removing the Ten Commandments, what do you see as unintended consequences, if you will, in our society today by getting rid of the Ten Commandments in America?
I think it is a barometer, call it a blood test, a thermometer reading of our culture. When we say, in God we trust and our buildings are our coinage, but then tell God to get out, God does not honor that. Davey, we are the United States of America, that historically outside the nation of Israel, no other nation has ever known the blessings of God like America
has. That's true.
And yet now we've turned on Him. And so if God exists, if God can be grieved, if God can be made angry, and all those things are true, does He not owe us in His righteousness that He would then begin to judge us as a nation?
Yeah.
I believe He has allowed things. I'm not going to say that America is under the judgment of God, not yet.
Yeah.
I will say, though, in the last, you know, you look at the last 8-10 years where it seems as though God has removed His hand of abundant protection or provision. We have more problems that we know that we never had before.
Yeah.
We've got environmental issues caused by bizarre, strange weather activity going on. We've got killer tornadoes and hurricanes like never before seen in America. And now we hear already during this springtime, the price of food come fall skyrocketing because our crops have been devastated.
I just heard this.
Look at the book of Judges, for example, when you look at Chronicles, when you look at, that's exactly what you see God doing to the nation of Israel. He chastises them when they forsake Him. It's sad to say, but America at large has forsaken God.
And the destruction, if you will, is coming slowly, but surely. It's like a little cut here, a little cut there, and eventually it ends up, it doesn't seem like big things are happening all the time. It seems like little things are happening very often, so we get used to them.
Oh, that's a very, very good point. And it's only once in a while, Davey, that we get some big spike, some anomaly that wakes us up.
Yeah.
Like just recently, we had an earthquake here in Southern California. It was no big deal.
Sure.
You know, for us to have a 5.0, it's nothing.
Nothing to it.
We sleep through those. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Caltech and clicked on and then saw, you know, you start looking at one bit of data, look at another bit of data.
Yeah.
I looked at earthquakes in the last 10 years, and we've had things called superquakes globally that the world has never seen before on this frequency of activity. You say, well, that's just geology. True, but my God is the God of geology. Yeah. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, these things are going to increase in frequency and in intensity as my coming approaches. So we can't ignore these things.
Yeah, and if we become numb to earthquakes, how much more can we become numb to God's voice and to God's plan?
That's a pretty bizarre thing to think about, because when, you know, you can be having your most confident day, at least here in Southern California, and when you feel the earth shake and you see the telephone poles or the line on the street literally wiggle.
Yeah.
You become very small in your own opinion.
People who
it's quite awesome.
People who haven't seen that don't get it.
I tell you.
A camp meeting up in Arrowhead, and the ground looked as if it were the ocean because of the waves.
Absolutely. The ground waves. Bye-bye.
And you look in the backyard, and the pool's sloshing back and forth, you know, 6-foot-high waves in your pool in the backyard.
The Lord is God over all the earth.
End of story.
He will not be offended. He will not allow that to
Now, if you were the king, and you could, by edict, establish the direction for our country, what would you say?
I would say, let's go to the scriptures and look at history. And I would look at nations that have forsaken God, and I would look at what's happened to Israel when it has forsaken God. And I would call all those who believe in the Lord to pray, to humble themselves, to repent of their sins, and to seek God. I'm not involving Davey the atheist.
Yeah.
He can keep going on in his atheism.
Sure.
And I'm not inviting cult members. They can do and talk to whatever gods they're involved in. I'm just talking to God's people.
Yeah.
If we would repent of our sins and seek God's face and cry out, He has built in a promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 to all those, not just Israel, but to all those who would call upon the name of the Lord, that He would heal their land. As president, that's what I would do, or governor, or dog catcher in my community. I would say, let's seek the Lord, those of you who believe in the Lord, and those of you who don't be bothered by this announcement, because you don't believe in Him anyway.
Right.
So don't worry about it, but let's pray.
So to the person that is overwhelmed by, if they've been paying attention to the series for the past few weeks, or if they're just learning about the Ten Commandments, they look at the Ten Commandments and say, I can't do that. It's overwhelming me. It's way too much. What would you say to that person who's overwhelmed by the Ten Commandments, who realizes that he can't keep these commands of God, and he's hopeless?
Wow, you know what? I would say to that person, you are nigh unto the kingdom of God. You're near, for the kingdom of God has come.
Oh, that's good.
Near you. And here's the reason why. Yeah. That person today that is saying or has said during this series, I can't do this.
Yeah.
That is awesome. But the Bible says that by the keeping of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
When someone realizes, oh boy, am I in trouble? This is exactly one of the reasons why the Ten Commandments were given, to show us our need of His righteousness.
Yeah.
It's to convict us of our sins. And so when you think about, for example, Galatians 3:24 that says, wherefore the law was a schoolmaster. The word in Greek is pedagogus. It's an awesome word. It's the picture. The law is the picture of a very stern schoolmaster standing there with a whip,
yeah,
watching over the class for anybody who steps out of line to actually smack them, to get their attention. You failed. Pedagogus in the Greek. The law was our schoolmaster, Galatians 3:24 says, really announcing that to drive us to Christ, to find salvation, is the purpose of the law. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Well, think about that. We will not know when we're committing evils, Davey, without street signs. In the Ten Commandments are 10 street signs, 10 warnings, of God's righteousness and our need of His righteousness in our lives.
Now, I know as you study these lessons, you get ready for these lessons, and I know for a fact you personally sit down and, I mean, you get alone with God and you get alone with yourself, and as you're studying these messages, would you mind, just on a real personal level, sharing with us one of the things that He showed you personally through this Ten Commandments series?
Yeah, absolutely. The Ten Commandments series came about for two reasons. Number one, there is a strange trend in the younger churches today. When I say younger churches, churches pastored by maybe the 40 and unders, churches that are highly attended by very young people, which we have a lot of young people
here. We do.
Just things said like, well, I don't read the Old Testament. Or, oh, that's the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And so that really began to bother me. And then the other thing was that it's the Word of God. Jesus saw fit to quote the Scriptures. When I say Scriptures, the Old Testament.
Mm.
And so I just felt very strong that we needed to have a realignment, a readjustment. The Ten Commandments is an awesome teaching to get people to think rightly about themselves and about their culture and about where they're at. Because if we begin to delete ourselves from the Old Testament, remember this, we honestly don't have a New Testament if we remove the Old. Because what is concealed in the Old?
Yeah.
The Old Testament has the gospel. When I say hidden in it, not hidden so you can't find it,
right,
but hidden like gold in the earth.
Let's
you got to
go find it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what is hidden in the old is revealed in the new, G. Campbell Morgan said. So we mine the Old Testament to better understand the new. And Davey, with what you just said, there's a wonderful test. When someone says, for example, I don't understand the book of Revelation, well, I immediately know that they've never read the Old Testament.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you'll never understand the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Unless you've read all of the books of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So how can we understand the New Testament, which the apostles quoted, which Jesus quoted, which is even prophetic? If we don't study the Old and the New together, we are going to miss the revelation of God. They do not contradict one another. They complement one another.
Mm.
And so I believe the Ten Commandments today is worthy more than ever.
So I was at dinner the other night and with a bunch of friends that I think I might reasonably so I was probably the only Christian in the crowd. Great people. I love every single one of them. There were six of us. And one of them opened a thought that she had by saying, well, we all know that the Bible is full of contradictions. And then she went into whatever she was going to state.
Yeah.
Well, when I heard that, this veil went up in front of me, this window. I just shut the window, you know, in front of me. How do you address that? Something along those lines.
Well, I'm not the most mellow person in the world. So my first thought.
I wanted to jump up. I didn't.
Exactly.
But you know.
My first thought may not have been the thought that came out of my mouth, but it's always this to what you just said. My first thought is, well, I'd like you to produce one.
Yes.
So you could write a book on it and become a billionaire and disprove the Bible, because you'll be the first person to ever do it.
Right.
I may not do that, but that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
The number one thing is the Scriptures tell us of itself, which is a very amazing thing. I love this logic. Somebody might say, well, that's illogical. No. The Bible says of itself that it is perfect, true, and holy, given by God, by inspiration of God. And here's the shocker, that God, who is all perfect, chose to use human beings as the vehicle from which he would communicate his eternal truth from. You would think introducing humans into his plan would mess it up.
Yeah.
And yet the Bible, breathed by the Spirit of God through man, you've got 66 books, 40 different authors, spanning nearly 2,000 years of time. Some of them never had any contact with one another, some of them even on different continents, in perfect harmony, both scientifically, linguistically, historically, archaeologically. The Bible, hands down, is the most scrutinized, the most criticized, and yet the most justified book in all of history. It is God's word to man. And, you know, when somebody says things like that, that, Davey, in your setting where you were at, it was probably right for you not to say anything. Because
that's what I thought.
And for those of you, listen, Davey, you may get upset with what I'm about to say, but our listeners, you guys, my friend Davey J here, who is the radio voice of this program, you have no idea how spoiled I am about this. He's a dear friend of mine. But more than that, you guys on so many radio programs and so many television shows know his voice.
Yeah, isn't that
funny? He's got a very famous voice in among all kinds of areas, from National Geographic to Disneyland to on and on it goes to movie introductions and all. And the great thing about this, when Davey mentioned that he was at dinner with a bunch of non-believers, you might have been thinking, well, what's he doing with non-believers? God has deployed his people everywhere in the world and every theater of exposure. And you're talking about two guys here right now on opposite side of a desk where I am pretty much confined by religious circles. And Davey here is out there literally down the street from American Idol and all that kind of stuff going on and stands for Jesus. And listen, the Ten Commandments, nobody can escape them. I mean, you look, in fact, you know him. Kirk Cameron did a great job evangelizing Hollywood using the Ten Commandments among his peers. And it rocks. I mean,
see, that's the thing is when I tell somebody that I'm a Christian in Hollywood, some will snarl at me and some will shake their heads and say, yeah, me too.
A lot of believers, huh?
There's a lot of believers.
People don't realize that.
Those of us that are believers in the world of Hollywood, if you will, we kind of keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of keep to ourselves.
I actually think that's wise.
I think it's the right thing to do because occasionally at lunch, someone will say, hey, what do you think
What's
of this?
The deal?
Because they trust me.
Right.
I'm not out bloviating, if you will. I'm not spewing things that I'm just being a very simple person, doing my job, going home to be with my family, and I love Jesus.
But what's awesome about what you're saying, and listen, some of you may have just been trying to catch your breath right now because Pastor Jack said, I think you're doing the right thing by keeping quiet. Pastor Jack, you just shocked me. Oh my gosh, I don't like you anymore. Jesus warned us not to cast our pearls before swine. There's a theater. In fact, this is a good teaching moment here.
Go ahead.
We just don't go around and preach with a soapbox at every corner. We would like to. We're willing to do that, by the way. But Jesus said—
I've seen you do it, by the way.
We've been in countries,
we've
been in America
to do that.
There's an opportunity that God will provide, which opens that door. Because in Hollywood, I don't need to tell you, Davey, you could stand on Hollywood and Vine and preach like that, and nobody will listen to one word you say.
Right.
But if you say, Lord, I'm willing right now to share you at my job, to share you in my home, or to share you on my street— or wherever, I'm asking you, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Like Gideon, just let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know the time and the place, and I'm going to do it, Jesus. I'm willing, I'm ready, and you just give me that divine appointment. My friends, listen, be careful who you present the gospel to in the sense that they may turn and rend you, Jesus said, with it. Ask the Lord to open up a door of opportunity to share, and my friend, by all means, act in obedience and share the gospel when he does. But very, very carefully— always be ready, always be willing, and be loaded with even the Ten Commandments, because that will whittle down a man's pride, and then you get to insert the gospel, because he will be convicted of his adultery or pride or lying or idol worship, whatever it might be.
So all that being said, Pastor Jack, we're moving on to the book of Joshua. Why should I spend time? Now, I have spent many hours studying the book of Joshua, but tell me, for the sake of our listeners, why should we study the book of Joshua?
Book of Joshua, in many ways, as many scholars throughout time have pointed out, that the book of Joshua is none other than, yes, a historical book, an accurate book, a book that can not only be studied via the Bible, but Israel's history, antiquity. But the book of Joshua is actually a snapshot picture. It's a typology, if you'd like, of the life of Christ and the life of the believer. Meaning this, Joshua was under the command of Moses. We all know that.
Right.
And the Bible even, in fact, Joshua even opens up by saying that Joshua chapter 1, Moses' assistant. Isn't it interesting that Joshua chapter 1 speaks about Joshua still being in that place of under the mantle of Moses? Why? Because Joshua is a type of Christ. Moses is the type of the Father, so to speak, in typology regarding deliverance.
Okay.
Joshua led the children from the wilderness wandering. Think about our world that we live in,
yeah,
baby. Think about us being saved out of this world. Joshua takes a new generation. They're believers. Their moms and dads died in the wilderness.
Exactly, yeah.
Only those who believed entered in under Joshua's command into the promised land. They had to cross the Jordan River. And when they came into the promised land, what did they have to do? They had to fight to take the promised land.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, fascinating.
If it's promised, then why fight?
Yeah, why fight for it?
My friend, because God has promised you and I eternal life. Done deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fact.
Right.
Well, then why do you and I struggle with temptation?
Exactly.
Why do you and I struggle with battles? How come we have difficulties? Because we are in a new life. We are experiencing this life that is brand new, but we're under now the command of Jesus, our Joshua, which, by the way, their names mean, basically, the same root is God is our salvation.
Right.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
And with every battle, God says, go to battle, I'll give you the victory. Isn't that true about anything in our lives?
Yeah. And ultimately, in the book of Joshua, one of the themes is finishing strong.
Probably one of the greatest pictures of someone finishing strong is Caleb, who was such a great assistant to Joshua. In fact, when you go through the book of Joshua, you know, and in fact, you know from other Old Testament references and New Testament references, that when the spies were sent out, the 12 of them, Moses sent them out, the two that came back out of the 12, the two that came back with a good report, meaning, by the way, the word good report means a report of faith, it was Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb was a man who, I got to tell you, I wish we had Caleb running for president right now.
Why is that?
Because the guy didn't care what people thought.
Yeah.
He was a real statesman.
We could use that.
We need statesmen. Yeah. Have you noticed America has no statesmen today that we're aware of?
Yeah.
We are overwhelmed with politicians.
And
I don't want to see another politician as long as I live.
And celebrities in politics.
Yeah. I want to see a statesman stand up and say, this is what's right. This is what's wrong. This is what we're going to do. Vote for me. If you don't like it, don't vote for me.
Right.
But this is what's true and this is what's false.
You don't see that.
No, you don't see that. Joshua and Caleb, these guys said, we're going to follow God. God said it. Let's do it. Watch what happens. And that's why these guys really inspire me for the age that I'm in. For my worldview, and at my age, I'm pushing 55 right now, I still want to believe that there's so much more ahead of me to do for the Lord.
Yeah.
Caleb was of that spirit. Remember, when that guy was 80 years old, he said, hey, I'm just as strong today than 40 some odd years ago when this whole thing started. Now, I don't know if he was delusional or speaking the truth. I have a tendency to believe he was speaking the truth because of all things, the guy wants his retirement home because it states it in the scripture. He goes, I want to live on that mountain.
Yeah.
And that mountain was an area filled with giants. That's not, you know, that's not Florida.
No, that's not. You know what I love about, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast that I love these times of getting together. But folks, I got to tell you, as we sit here in Pastor Jack's office, I wish we had a camera running because you're a passionate guy. I mean, you've got your arms swaying through the air. You're writing things down. It's awesome. I wish everybody could be here. Let me talk about our special offer that we've got going on right now. You can pick up the entire Ten Commandments series on an MP4 video format if you'd like, and you can watch Pastor Jack deliver the Ten Commandments series. Now, that's for a gift of any amount to support of Real Radio. And we hope you can spend every minute of Joshua with us in the next few weeks. And we hope you'll send us a gift of any size and you'll get the entire Ten Commandments series on an MP4 video format. You can watch it on your iPad, on your iPhone, stick it in your computer and just enjoy every minute of that. This has been a wonderful time together, Jack.
I love it.
I really appreciate being here. And we'll catch you next time on Real Radio.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.